You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Intro music.
Wait, that's not it.
What? He's no good to me dead.
Intro music. Intro music.
Bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
Yes, it is. Bounty hunting.
It is
could
it more
be.
More or less of a complicated profession than podcasting. Because I got to tell you, this episode coming at you once again, because this is the second time this episode has been a thing, right, Rob?
Yes, it is. This is our second time of this episode, but only the first time that you're hearing it.
That's right. We are Banter, Beskar, and Bantha Milk. We are
a
Mandalorian podcast.
Yes.
You might know us as Bantha Milk Podcast. And one of these days when we are rich and famous and we are on top of the podcasting world, we're going to release this as one of our lost, stolen tapes because, we had some audio issues on our first recording here. And as Rob so elegantly put it, for a podcast, audio is kind of important, right?
Audio is a little important if you're going to do a podcast, I think. Yeah. So it was very visually stimulating, the old
one. It was. We were in the studio. We were back in Bantha Milk headquarters with a producer and effects. And
yeah.
But it wasn't meant to be.
And unfortunately, one person can't handle audio, video, effects.
We need to talk to Ears Up about getting a... We need a team.
We need a team.
We need a whole team for Bantha. Listen, we see the stuff they do for The Mandalorian and all the special effects. And it takes an army. It really does.
It sure does.
We don't have an army yet. So.
Nope.
We're calling out to you, Ears Up, and also to Bantha Milk Nation. We need an army. We need
that
a Bantha Milk
correct.
Army.
Bantha Milk army comes strong.
The first of our Bantha Milk army is my buddy Mickey. I want to shout out to him. We sent my buddy Mickey Angusser. He's an excellent musician. He's an excellent producer. And we sent him the audio to our future premium
Lost
subscriber
episode
fodder.
Show. Yeah.
And he did a great job actually restoring it. But there were, at the end of the day, we just decided it'd be best to give you, the consumer, the mm-hmm. best possible product there was. So
that's
you could
right.
hear our delightful and dulcet tones.
That too. So here
are.
We are. We're back.
Back for yet another episode, and we've got a couple things planned for you. We have a lot of interesting stuff on the agenda today.
Yes.
If you're a fan of Star Wars, you're going to be enjoying this one. If you're a fan of video games, you're going to be a fan of this one, and especially if you're a fan of both, right?
Correct.
Because both Rob and I have found separate video games that are pretty interesting and exciting and have new stuff going on with them. And we're going to talk about that. Rob's got some news, but make sure, first of all, you check us out on all of our social medias. We've got lots of social medias, right, Rob?
We have lots of social medias. We have the Twitter. Bantha Milk. That's it. Just plain old Bantha Milk.
Speaking of which, I've got mine right here. Once again, I'm just going for a glass of whiskey.
I found this in the refrigerator.
What do you got?
Smith & Forge Hard Cider.
Okay.
I figured, it's apple cider season, so might as well
yeah, happy,
try this.
Happy autumn to you all.
Yes.
The air is getting crisp outside.
And you know what's funny? Every time we do this podcast, the countdown gets closer and closer to the release of season 2 of The Mandalorian.
That's right. Last time the countdown when we first recorded this episode was like 24 days or something.
Yeah,
25
now
days.
We're down to 18 days.
18 days.
Yeah, today's the 12th. 18 days until season 2 comes out, which means...
And you can see all stuff about it on our other social medias, including our Instagram.
Instagram,
Bantha Milk Podcast. Right?
That's right.
On our Facebook, Bantha Milk Podcast. Check our YouTube channel out. It's Bantha Milk Podcast, right? Our YouTube channel?
Well, we don't have enough subscribers, so smash that button down there. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. But if you type in Bantha Milk Podcast, you will find us. We show up right at the top when you type in Bantha Milk Podcast.
How expensive is it to buy subscribers? Is that a thing?
It's a thing. I don't
know.
I didn't look into it too much. I want to do
it. I'm talking to you. I want you right there.
All you need to do right down there, like, subscribe, and all those other buttons down
and
there.
And tell
comment
your friends.
Down
I know,
below. Tell
I
your
know
friends.
Star Wars fans, you know, we tend to gravitate towards other Star Wars fans. And if I know one other thing about Star Wars fans is that they want to hear two people talk about it so that they can tell their friends how wrong they were. Right?
Exactly, because everybody's wrong.
So let's get more people listening to Bantha Milk, right?
That's right.
What else we... Oh, Ears Up. We got to talk about Ears Up.
Yes, Ears Up with a Z hyphen podcast. They're our parent organization. They hook us up with stuff. We hook them up with advertising. So check them out on their podcast, Ears Up In Depth, their second podcast. Their Etsy page is at Cove Ears. Right. Check that out.
For the Disney ears.
Disney ears and t-shirts, all kinds of really cool t-shirts.
Which, hopefully, by the way, I think we mentioned we need to get some Bantha Milk t-shirts on there.
Bantha Milk t-shirts hopefully coming soon. I don't know what happens there. And last but not least there, I'm a little flummoxed.
That's it. You got to have some of your Bantha Milk. That's what we're here for. Milk. Too much banter, not enough Bantha Milk.
That is right. I had a little something in my throat. It was a little bit of COVID in my throat or something.
Oh,
like
no.
That. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no. That's why we're doing this as socially distanced as
we sure
be.
Are. That's right. And then finally, also Patreon. Check out Patreon, Ears Up at Patreon. And for as little as even $2 a month, if you can afford it, or as much as you want, they helped us out. It helps them out.
I hear Jeff Bezos listens to our podcast.
Yeah, he can donate $2 a month.
Jeff, if you can give us maybe 4 or 5 on Patreon, I mean, that'd be solid. I mean, it's
we'll
like
solid.
Less than you pay your workers per hour, I know, but, you know, maybe it's more. I don't know.
It might
anyway.
Be, yes. Who knows? So that's all there's. Oh, wait, we got to talk about the other two shows also.
Oh, yeah,
the,
that's right.
Taco Supreme.
Taco Supreme
Resort. Yeah. Actually,
with
the Supreme Resort, not Taco
sure.
Supreme Resort. I was a little confused. The Supreme Resort. They compare two different rides at the two Disney parks and tell you which one's the best.
You know, and when are they going to start doing the Disney Japan and the Disney Paris?
I think once the guys go more often to Paris and Japan.
Oh, that's
then,
fair.
Then they'll have something to reference. So
that's
Patreon.
Why we need Jeff Bezos to get on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, they have another one called Scraping the Vault, where they watch all really old movies, Disney movies, and then they make fun of it.
We've got the holiday season coming up. We have got to get that crossover episode going.
Oh yes,
I was watching. Who was it from? The woman who sings the song in the holiday special. She's one of the Golden Girls. Oh, that's going to drive me crazy.
Betty
anyway,
White?
No, Betty White wasn't in it. It was Blanche? Was it Blanche?
Blanche was in it?
Who played
really?
Blanche?
Come on now. You're asking really difficult questions.
I mean, you were a child of the 80s. You were alive and well and thriving, right? That was
Bea Arthur?
Yes, Bea Arthur was in the Star Wars Christmas Holiday Special, right? And it was fantastically horrifying, and I think we have to do a crossover special with them on that.
I think we should. The
As
Star
the holiday
Wars Holiday
approaches.
Special. You know what's embarrassing for Bea Arthur? When you go to IMDb, excuse me, in the known for part,
yeah,
it's the Golden Girls, Maude, Mame, and then the Star Wars Holiday Special.
You know what? Good for her. Oh boy.
Poor thing. All right.
News, Star Wars news. And we don't have our do we have our fun sound effects? We got
I think
new sound
so.
Effects.
Wait,
okay.
Listen, hold on.
Ready?
Star Wars news.
There it was.
Shout out to Mr.
Wars
Bacon
news.
Out there. Our friend Brian out there, he's a great guy. He's a great musician, and he hooked us up with some excellent transition music that we are going to probably maybe get better at timing.
Maybe.
We'll see. But Rob has got some Star Wars news for us.
I do have some Star Wars news
for us.
Just a
little
bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
again, we're still in the drips and drabs era of the Star Wars holiday special here.
Era. That's a era. Anyway, Star Wars October is Star Wars Reads Month. So there's this pamphlet here that I printed out. They have an activity pack, a whole bunch of free stuff, free books you can download if you check out their website. But go to StarWars.com and then search for Star Wars Reads, or even just like Google Star Wars Reads. It'll take you right to the link in StarWars.com. They're having specials all month long. I downloaded a whole book, high school level junior reader book type thing, a Star Wars book. I downloaded for free.
Which one was that?
Now, once again, asking difficult questions. It ran out on October 9th. You had to download it before October 9th. So at this point, it doesn't really matter because we're filming this on the 12th and people can't get it for free now. But it was a new free e-reader, so maybe if I start reading books, I'll read it. This activity pack, which is like 30 pages long.
And it's got our boy Udall's beautiful face on it, right? Look at that
guy. Sure is. Udall's reading. Baby Udall is reading.
I mean, he's 50 years old. If he couldn't read by now, that would be a real failure of the... I don't know what public school system he might have been a product of. So.
The Dagobah public That's school right. system.
I mean, I can't imagine. Have you seen the neighborhood? It looks pretty shady.
I think that's got to be a T-shirt. Dagobah public school system with Baby Yoda's head in the
proud product of, yeah. All right, that's got to be your next one. We got to figure out how to screen print that.
We're going to screen print that. That's going to be amazing.
Oh, boy.
And then the other news article that I had, I just saw today. On Apple Music, they have all these new, I don't know if they're new, but they were just promoting all these Star Wars playlists. So you can download Star Wars playlists if you're one of those monthly subscribers to Apple Music. You can listen to all these awesome Star Wars songs all put together for you in a nice big playlist.
Sure, so, and almost all of them, I'm sure, composed by the masterful John Williams.
Yes.
Who, if you don't know who John Williams is, it's kind of strange that you're listening to this podcast because probably most of the people who listen to this podcast have heard of the guy.
Probably.
Yeah, he's a fantastic composer. And, you know, I've come up in... I'm a musician, so I've come up in the classical music world, and there's a lot of snobbery sometimes around John Williams with composers and musicians, and I'm here to tell you, enough. John Williams is the man, and if you need any further proof, just go to YouTube and type in John Williams is the man. There's a fantastic medley this dude put together of just him singing different John Williams songs about Star Wars and India. It's very interesting. Anyway, go to YouTube, check it out. We should link it in the comments, right? That's what people do on YouTube,
That's
right?
what they do. Yes,
I'll
they
write
do that.
I'll write
days.
A note to myself to write a link in the comments to check out
I
that
like
video.
It.
It's like a decade old, so
okay.
maybe it'll get a bump now. I doubt it.
Yeah, and then like, subscribe, and comment down below in our show as well.
Yeah, tell us down below if you checked out that video.
That's
down
right.
Here.
Down here,
and if,
right down
and
there.
And if you're listening to us on Spotify, then you have no idea what we're talking about. But, you know, come check
we're
us
just,
out on YouTube.
We're just pointing down. So while you're driving in the car, just think of us pointing down at the ground.
Yeah, that's all. Anyway.
Anyway.
Star Wars news.
Is all
music.
Over.
Check
that's
it out, right? We had
that's
all this
right.
music. We had all these books. You know, we got visual stimulation. We got auditory stimulation. And we can stimulate your mind, all with Star Wars.
Life is good. Life is good.
And with Bandit.
All right, now for why you tuned in, or
why
one of the three reasons
in?
That what, you tuned what? In.
I thought they tuned in because they wanted to see you, Rob. They just
they did.
Really like you, and you've got a kind smile.
I have a kind smile,
you
which
do.
You can't see half the day because I'm wearing a mask over top of it, so it
and
makes
I,
it really
and
hard
I
to
will
see.
Mention with that kind smile that when we're in the studio, we have a nice video screen that we can kind of see stuff. So I don't normally get to see when we're like this, the intro video that you might get to see on YouTube. But when you do, you get to see Rob's excellent COVID beard that I really miss.
The many beards of Rob.
Yeah, Rob, you get some really thick foliage on that face, man.
I do.
I think you got to bring it back. And you said you do usually for November, right?
For Movember, I sure do. So, and it works out perfect because the first episode of The Mandalorian comes out on October 30th. So that'll be the last day that I'll shave.
Oh,
and
man.
Then,
we're going to get to see the many shades of Rob's facial hair
so for
throughout
the next
the first
four
season.
Weeks after that, you'll just see it growing yeah. out. So
meanwhile,
there we go.
It took me like 4 years to grow this, but that's okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
We do have some stuff for you. Now, if there's one thing Star Wars has, it is merchandising. Merchandising,
it sure does.
Right?
Lots and lots of it.
Because that's the big moneymaker, right? And you can't have Star Wars merch without some of the coolest Star Wars merch out there, and that is the vehicles, right?
Correct.
We can all pretty much agree that the Star Wars vehicles are some of the best. So we have our top 10 Star Wars vehicles that we wanted to share with you all. It was a highly scientific method that we did by this. and you know what's funny? You want to hear the funniest thing about this?
Sure.
Is that we filmed this a couple days ago. We messed up. The audio was bad. I'm just now realizing this. I'm sorry. It's funny. And so we scheduled a time to reshoot this, even though you're currently going to see this. There's mistakes in here. Like, there's errors. We forgot to put some stuff in, and I still did not stuff in.
Oh, no?
No.
That's funny. Because we had a whole week to fix it, and it's still wrong.
That's great. But that's okay, because we're here to explain it to you anyway. And some of you can't even see our slideshow. But we are going to list for you our top 10 vehicles in Star Wars, starting with number 10. And it's interesting to see how they correlate to one another.
Yes.
I think. So here we go with number 10.
Number 10.
What do you tell me about your number 10, Rob?
My number 10 is the shiniest, sleekest ship in all of the fleet, the Naboo Royal Starship.
Yeah.
I ranked it 10 just because of how awesome it looks. It looks like a Blackbird, like a stealth, the original stealth fighter Blackbird, or not even fighters.
Yeah, the B-2 bomber.
Yeah. So it's super cool looking, super shiny. I just don't want to be the one that has to polish it after every flight because...
No, I feel like there's got to be a lot of space dust to get it all over it and mess with that. Unless they have some sort of alloy in a galaxy far, far away that... I mean, I'd imagine they have shields. They can probably deal with that.
That would repel dust and dirt and everything.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Chicago?
Oh, sure. The Bean?
The Bean. It looks the Bean. If you took the Bean and turned it into a spaceship, that's what it would be.
But it's great because you see the Bean from far away, and you're like, oh, wow, look at that. It's shiny. But you get up close, and all you see are people's fingerprints and smudges and stuff. And everyone wants to touch the Bean. Because I used to live in Illinois. I lived in Illinois for 2 years. And so I would always, whenever anyone would visit, we'd go see the Bean. And, you know, the first time, second time, I did the touristy touch the Bean thing. But every time after that, I realized... Man,
thousands of people touch the Bean daily. Yeah.
And after COVID, man, I don't know if anyone's ever going to touch the Bean again.
I don't think so.
You know, but yeah, I was about to call it the COVID bomber. The COVID bomber. that's what we're going to call the Naboo starfighter from now on. But it's really cool looking. I think it's like, you know, George Lucas got a hold of CGI all of a sudden. He's like, all right, I'm going to make the sleekest, shiniest, prettiest ship.
Yep, he figured out that he could make reflective angles and stuff in the computer, and he was like, check this out.
And it's like what in the 1960s or 70s, I guess 70s, when he was making this, it's kind of like what you would expect an alien spaceship to look like. And, you know, really smooth and it like almost like a Flintstone or Jets, not Flintstones, Jetson sort of a thing, yeah. The other one, right?
Yes.
Was that Hanna-Barbera?
The other Hanna-Barbera. Right. That was exactly the same, just instead of in the past, in the future.
Although, you know, there's like that theory that Flintstones is actually in the future, but it's a post-apocalyptic future.
That's a great theory.
Yeah. So, but my number 10 was not only just a great starship class in general, but a specific one. It was the Raddus. The Raddus, which is an MC-85 Star Cruiser, which was like the Rebellion and the New Republic's version or answer to the Star Destroyer, right?
Yes.
Their fleet, you know, big fleet cruisers. And the Raddus in particular, I think, is cool, number one, because it was named after a really awesome dude, General Raddus, who, for those of you who pay attention to these ridiculous names, because there's a lot of names in all these Star Wars
There are a lot of
movies.
Names. And a lot of ridiculous names, too.
Yeah, but Raddus is one of the tamer ones, you know. Mm-hmm. So far as Star Wars names goes.
Yes.
But Raddus was the general who pretty much helped win the day at the Battle of Scarif and helped the Death Star plans. He's Mon Calamari. Helped the Death Star plans to get beamed up during Rogue One. And so this ship was named after him. And then like 30 or 40 some odd years later, this ship was, you know, driven straight through a giant Star Cruiser at warp speed. To help the Rebellion continue to live. So
yes.
I think it's just a pretty cool looking ship with a pretty cool story.
I like
it. Not quite the style and the flash of the Empire and as far as their design goes, but you know, it gets the job done.
But still, it got the job done. That's right.
That's right. Number nine, here we are both on Naboo. Or not Naboo. Whoa, that's Tatooine for number 9.
Tatooine, yes.
Go for it, Rob.
I went with Anakin's Pod Racer because since we're doing all vehicles... I wanted to make sure I got a little smithering of all types of vehicles.
A smithering.
And then since... I don't think that's the right word.
That's like, anyway, I like it. It's the right word for me.
It is. And since this is also Nick's favorite generation of Anakin Skywalker...
Jake Lloyd is my hero.
I did this mostly for you because I knew how much you loved Jake Lloyd. And
thanks,
buddy. You loved the phenomenal acting of this young... this young Padawan of a Jedi Knight. But the little fella, he built this whole pod racer all by himself. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it was a pretty pretty impressive pod racer at that. He was able to fight off every other pod racer and win the big race.
With a pretty darn significant disadvantage, considering everyone got like a 45-second head start on him.
Yeah. I love when the good guy, you know, falls in the beginning of the race, or in this case, the engine just kills out on him and he can't get started and everybody passes him and then somehow they manage to catch up.
Yeah.
So it's like
somehow he manages to catch up, and yet at the end it's neck and neck. Like you would think if he's going that fast, you would just go right by him. Nope.
He was able to catch Sebulba, up a whole man. Lap. Yeah. But then once he caught up that lap, then he had to slow down again.
But you know what, Rob? The Force.
It was the Force. The Force helped him along the way.
It's true. He's a
Yours
one.
is a very much larger ship than mine.
Yeah, it's a little bigger, probably a little slower.
a little bit.
Definitely a couple more cup holders in this mm-hmm. vehicle. I chose Jabba's sail barge because if there's one thing that I absolutely know in my life that I enjoy is luxury.
Yes.
I don't see much of it, but when I do, I enjoy it. I enjoy the finer things like a glass of whiskey or Bantha milk. Me and my family have gone on vacation to like maybe once or twice in my life to like these all-inclusive resorts where I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to sit here on the beach and eat hot dogs all day. That's all I've ever wanted.
And that's what this sail barge
is. And that's what you can
is.
Do on Jabba's sail barge is just go there and hang out on the deck. I guess, you know, it looks like there's a deck. I mean, I know it's kind of militarized looking, but it seems like if you were kind of a little more chill than Jabba were, you could have a good time on this thing. And, you know, you got droids serving drinks and you get to throw people into a giant space monster.
You know what I just realized this is?
What's that?
This is the Star Wars version of a pontoon boat.
Absolutely it is, for sure.
It's just a big old deck. You
An
just
easy
chill out.
Ride.
Easy ride. It's not going to be fast. It's just going to get you to the spot.
You're
going to
get where you want to go, and you're going to enjoy it.
You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a nice party while you're there.
Crack a cold one.
That's right. Throw people into the pit of cankering, you know.
That's right.
Just sit back and relax. So I agree. This is a great ship. Good choice.
Yeah. All right. Number 9. Going on to number 8. What do you got?
Wait. Number 8. There's something wrong here. Number 8 is I have the Eagle 5, which I thought was a Star Wars ship and then realized that I was confused. It's actually a Spaceballs ship.
Yeah, Spaceballs is probably, aside from the Star Wars, and even maybe with the Star Wars movie, I think I might have even seen Spaceballs more often. When I was a kid, my wife and I were talking yesterday. She watched a lot of, you know, she watched Labyrinth when she was a kid, and she watched Princess Bride. I watched Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, yes.
And Spaceballs was just, and I think I liked Spaceballs before I liked Star Wars, actually. And Spaceballs was on last night.
Was it really?
Yeah, I was actually watching Spaceballs last night on Epics, like, Classics or something.
Okay.
But yeah, you had Eagle 5 and I had Spaceball 1, particularly Spaceball 1 in Mega Maid mode.
Yes.
Which had the impressive ability to suck all of the air off of planet Druidia within a matter of seconds.
Right. Well, you know, when you can, when the password to open the air vent is the hardest password ever.
That's
one,
right.
Two, three, four. Was there a five in there?
There
or did
sure
it stop
was.
At four? Yes,
which
one,
is
two,
amazing
because
it's the same combination I have on my luggage.
It sure is.
Yeah.
So remind me to change the combination on my luggage.
That's right. King Roland wasn't exactly known for his attention to detail, but I'm sure they're going to be password protecting their Wi-Fi a little more carefully.
I think
from
so.
Now on.
But the good thing is at the very end of the movie, she goes from suck to blow.
That's right.
So, yes. Yeah, so it's... Very important. That
you know
she
what?
Does
I
that.
Watched it again last night. I might just, when we're done here, I might just turn it on again.
I'm going to.
I got into Minecraft this past week. I just want to put on this screen some Spaceballs, this screen some Minecraft, and just fall asleep here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm going to do that as well. Yeah, if you're going to travel in space, the only way to go is in a Winnebago. So that's why I picked the Eagle 5. I think what a great.
Do you think it comes with its own Mog?
It does. It sure does. And
he's,
one of the greatest
friend.
Greatest comedic actors of all time, John
Dude,
Candy. Taken too early.
I get so sad every time. I just think, mm-hmm. man, like Uncle Buck,
yep.
Cool Runnings,
Planes,
Trains,
and
Automobiles. so
you're
good,
going man. The wrong way. How do they know where we're going? One of the greatest lines ever.
And probably yes. my he's probably my favorite cameo in, or I guess you could call it a cameo, in a Home Alone 2.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from, obviously, Donald Trump, you know.
Yes.
Great cameo as well. Moving on to number seven.
Moving on to seven. Went with what I thought when I was a kid, every time you hopped on your bicycle, you pretended you were driving and riding on a speeder bike.
Oh, yeah.
After seeing Princess Leia and Luke take out their speeders through the Redwood Forest and just how cool they were, we were like, oh, my gosh, they're so cool. So, yep,
yeah,
totally love the speeder bikes.
And that I feel like because that was like the latest episode of the original trilogy, it was, again, like the one where George had the best sort of technology on hand, so he was kind of getting the hang of it more. And so, like, you kind of look at how they filmed that Redwood scene too, and they talk about how, like, they film it at, I think it was something like one frame per second or something, I don't know, they filmed it up a ridiculous amount, so you're actually traveling through those Redwood forests at something like 250 miles an hour or something.
Yeah.
And it was just the coolest scene as a kid. And when you see, like, Luke chop off the front end of that guy's
front, and then I think it's cool.
It was pretty excellent. So yeah, absolutely. And of course we get that excellent new addition to the speeder bike canon from Mandalorian season one with our jerk guys who
the least favorite.
Yeah, right. The fan least favorites. We loved them. We did love them up until
they started punching Baby Yoda. You do not hurt Baby Yoda.
There are certain lines you don't cross.
Nope, and that's one of
them. That's one
so.
Of them, right? So yeah, all right. Speeder bike, great choice. Yours stays low to the ground, right? Mine's a little higher there, right? I went with the TIE Interceptor in particular, right? The TIE Interceptor, which we will talk a little bit more about when we talk about the new Star Wars Squadrons game in a minute here. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't know if anyone, when they were a kid who was a Star Wars fan, didn't just imagine just the sound of the TIE fighter and just zoom it around.
Yep, zooming around.
And the first time we see in episode 7, when Poe and Poe Dameron and Finn, when they hop in the TIE and he's like, whoa, this thing can really move. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's like how I always imagined hopping in one of those TIEs and it feeling, right? And so, I mean, TIEs are just so killer. They're maybe not as versatile as an X-Wing. You know, they don't have the shields. They don't have the hyperdrive. They just had the sheer, number one, the Empire always wins out when it comes to style. It just looks cool.
Yes.
And it's got the sheer killer, like, speed and intimidation factor. And obviously I chose the Interceptor because the wings are just kind of cooler than the regular TIE.
Yeah, they are, definitely. I mean, they get a little pointier and open in the sides and stuff, and just a little bit more menacing than the typical TIE fighter. So good
Absolutely.
Choice.
Yes, TIE Interceptor number seven. Moving on, number six.
Number six, since we are a Mandalorian podcast.
That's true.
I figured we had to have a Mandalorian ship in here somewhere. So if you look in the bottom right-hand corner of the picture there, you see the taxi that drives the people out in episode one. That was my Mandalorian. Oh, no, that's not the one.
Oh, that wasn't the one?
No, that wasn't the one.
You know,
one.
I was
sorry.
Wondering. I was going to say, you know, you could have picked a shot that had it a little better in focus, but
yeah,
you know, this makes a little more sense now.
It makes a little bit more sense that I actually chose the Razor Crest instead. So,
or a Razor Crest. I guess the Razor Crest is what
yes,
we're calling it.
Is what we're calling it, yeah. So, cool thing about a Razor Crest, if you know anything about military planes and stuff like that, the A1, I think A1, whatever, the Warthog jet that the Army had in, I guess, the 70s, 80s, even into the 90s. It wasn't as fast as like a F-16 or F-22 or whatever, but it was basically designed to destroy tanks. And it had two giant jets, jet engines on either side of it, and that's what this spaceship was based off of, was the Warthog plane. So check out the Warthog. You'll see the giant jets in the back of it that propel it, and that's why the Razor Crest looks the way it does.
And I mean, the Razor Crest is just kind of a cool ship. I mean, especially Mando, Kyle, Din Djarin, right?
Yeah, whatever.
With all of his many
him.
Names.
Yes.
He's got a whole chamber in there to store his many carbon-frozen victims. You know, he's got a back tube in case he's got to use the back tube, right?
He's got a little bed in there so he can take a little nap.
Yeah, and he's got a really cool little shifter that Baby Yoda likes to play
Baby Yoda loves to play with the little silver knob there. Yeah. So
the Razor Crest, I dig it. I do. I went with a slightly larger ship, which
just
again,
a little bit larger.
I don't know if you can technically call this one a ship, but I'm bending the rules because I think it's pretty cool. And it is Starkiller Base, and I like Starkiller Base for a myriad of reasons. The first one being that it's a planet that they turned into a super weapon, which is, I think, kind of cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of complained about Episode 7 that it was a rehash of Episode 4 and it was unoriginal. And honest to goodness, sometimes Star Wars fans can be saltier than crate.
Yep.
But I liked it. I thought it was just a perfect amount of homage to new. And Starkiller Base just has a lot of cool things in it. Number one, the prevailing theory is that this is Ilum, the former planet where if you watch Clone Wars, you get a little bit of it. If you play Jedi Fallen Order, you get a little bit of it. This is where Jedi used to go to farm their kyber crystals for their lightsabers. And it's where the Empire farmed kyber crystals for the Death Star. And we haven't really seen a whole lot of detail yet, but it's probably where the First Order took over operations and created this super weapon out of. So that's number one. And number two, the name Starkiller is just kind of in steeped in Star Wars lore. Luke's original working name was Luke Starkiller, and after that was changed, used that later on in the Force Unleashed games as their main character's name was Starkiller. And those were actually really interesting and killer games that unfortunately the story has been made moot because he used to be like a main character in the founding of the Rebellion, but he's gone. And so now we have Starkiller Base. So it's just a cool base with a cool name and a cool origin.
And I like it. And you quite possibly could see something of this in season 2 of The Mandalorian. There's in the trailer they show, you know, him flying around a frosty planet.
Sure.
Which everybody thinks is Ilum. So we'll see if all the rumors and speculations are true as season 2 comes out.
There's a whole lot of implication of Jedi something coming in season 2 in the trailer. You know, they specifically tick the line that, you know, the armorer speaks about a race of
sorcerers.
And so seeing what looks to be Ilum, I mean, I think it's too vague to be a red herring. I don't know if that they're trying to throw us off the scent, because I don't know that enough people would be fooled by that. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful we get some cool Jedi lore in the new, and you know, with the rumors that we're going to see Jedi that we already know, there's a possibility.
Good possibility. That's right. All
Moving
right.
on to number five. Number
to our
five.
Top five. Here we go in our top five. I did the Star Destroyer at number five. Just the most iconic Star Wars ship. I think you think bad guys, you think this. And then like Death Star,
sure.
You know, like they're the two that you always think of. So
absolutely, and you know, it is the second ship we see in Star Wars.
Yeah,
right. And it is the first Imperial ship we see. So and it has great music playing underneath. It's, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster to Star Wars fans. You know, it's like that. We have significant ties to that ship. And of course I went with that and just extrapolated a bit, right? And I went with the Executor, which is Darth Vader's personal flagship and a super Star Destroyer, which is a lot like a Star Destroyer, I think, but super.
Super, but much right? bigger, yes.
Right? Yeah, it's 11 miles long. That's a long...
11 miles long.
That's a long ship. If you're from Jersey, you know Long Beach Island is 18 miles long. So, you know, just stop around Harvey Cedars, and that's how long that ship is. That's a pretty long ship.
A big ship. Now, imagine how much material you need to make a ship that size. That's a lot of metal.
Where are they getting all this?
Yeah, where do they get it from? That's a good question.
I bet they got it through some scrupulous means.
Probably.
They're not the nicest guys.
You think about it. This is 11 miles long. The Death Star is huge. They blow that up. They build a second Death Star, even bigger. They have some definite means of getting some materials quickly.
Yeah, now in the Knights of the Old Republic, right? This video game that I keep touting on this podcast, There's actually a thing, and like an ancient relic, like a space station almost, called the Starforge. And the Starforge is actually basically a giant engine that churns out bad guy stuff, churns out ships, churns out space stations, churns out fighters, right? So maybe they had a Starforge. Maybe they found a way to churn stuff out like this. I kind of doubt it. They kind of just, you know, but
yeah, who knows
what I love, you know, this is 11 mile ship. This 11 mile long ship. We get a shot in the last, of the original trilogy of it, just taking a nosedive into this giant Death Star, which I guess is much bigger than that. So it's just a cool, you know, the Death Star or the Star Destroyers in general are just aces are just, in our books.
Yep. 100%.
Oh yeah. Number five, number four,
number four. Boom.
Boom.
In my opinion, one of the most awkward vehicles in the Star Wars,
the snow camel,
like I'll call it what George Lucas calls it, the AT-AT.
Yeah.
Even though you don't call the other one the AT-ST.
You should though, because it sounds cool.
But yeah, the AT-AT, the AT-AT, is my number four. I mean, the thing is just a beast.
If you're one of those at people and you're angry at us for making fun of you right now, tell us down below. Comment, subscribe.
Down below. Smash that subscribe button down below.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so the AT-AT, the AT-AT, you know, it's the typical lion and mouse syndrome. This thing is the lion, and nobody thought, like, they saw him coming. They were running, hiding. And then all they do, they have these little itty-bitty ships with some string behind them, and they just tangle their legs together, and they all fall down, and then they're useless. So, but as a kid, you definitely wanted one of these from Mattel. I mean, these things were enormous.
The ones that opened up, and you got to see everything inside.
Yeah, you could put your people in there and all kinds of stuff
We have the Lego set for this. I got it for Pagan for Christmas probably 1 year. And we used to have it out and displayed because apparently we're adults. But we had to put it away because our cats were knocking it over and breaking it.
Yeah, and it's too big and expensive to lose all the pieces to. So
yeah, and have to have like, you know, emergency surgery to get it out of a cat's stomach.
To get it out of a cat's belly. Yeah. They don't like eating the AT-ATs, the AT-ATs.
No.
All right, you.
I went with something that I'm imagining just based upon, you know, the way Star Wars fans think. I'm probably going to be seeing on your list in a couple minutes here, right?
Probably, because yep.
The X-Wing is just iconic. And again, when it comes to top 10 lists for Star Wars, people like top 10 lists because it lets people kind of talk about the different fun things that we like about it. But when you get into the top 5 and the top 4, it's really hard to differentiate. I could have really interchanged a lot of these top 4 because it's Star Wars. They're all awesome. But the X-Wing, it does have just a cool factor. It's got that old school, you know, fighter jet, Desert Storm feel to it almost. You got the S foils that, you know, they stay like this, and then you get that awesome, like, time. You know, all those fighters are just waiting to pop those bad boys open. It's like, come on, say it.
Yep. Say once it. They open up, then you know, game on. Let's go.
That's it. It's go.
That's
time.
That's it. It's go time.
And that scene, the first scene that I think made me like really excited in the trailer for The Force Awakens, was when we saw Poe's X-Wing going over the water, like we see in the picture here,
and just skimming the water, and the rooster tails flying up behind him.
Oh yeah, so very cool. X-Wings, iconic Star Wars stuff. I mean, it's got to be on anyone's top 10 list, I think.
Yep.
Number three. Hey, look, it does it's look fixed. Like it. I don't understand. You know what? I think we got a fire, Mike.
I think so. Maybe he must have moved things
around
somehow.
I think
Mike
has been sabotaging us. He messed up our sound.
He messed up screen three. So,
right.
But anyway, we're back. So everything number three. Works great. Number three. I have the X-Wing at number three.
But you went with a more iconic shot. You have the Battle of Yavin shot, which
yes,
is, you know,
I have. Yeah, I have the original perfect. X-Wing.
You've got R2 and Luke, Red 5.
With the four jets there, Red 5. Yeah, the total original X-Wing. You went
OG.
With the new X-Wing.
Yeah.
But I like the X-Wings as a whole because they have stood the test of time.
Yeah, you sure. Know, you see them I mean, when do we first see? I guess... is Rogue One when we first see an X-Wing?
Yeah, Guess we don't see any in the first three.
I guess we do see some fighters that have like little cross guards that go up and down. So I guess those are supposed to be the precursors to them.
The precursors to the X-Wing. But then, yeah,
but we have a couple people out there who know a lot more about Star Wars than I do. So if someone can tell us kind of when the X-Wing kind of came into being, that'd be great. Because we do see like a ragtag group of people kind of using them in the original trilogy. But in the new trilogy... And in, like, The Mandalorian, it looks like the New Republic has decided to use them as their regular fighters, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So I guess they do stand the test of time. They must be pretty good.
Yep. And then also, number three was a spot that I was going to put your number three in, but yeah. I like the X-Wing so much that I had to throw it in there. And then in doing so, I completely left out your number three, even though it should be on the list somewhere.
That's okay.
I went from one down, and then I went from 10, and I'm like, it's got to fit in here somewhere. And it's not here. It's not there.
It's on the cutting room floor somewhere.
Yep. And then I went this way, and he went that way, and I said, where'd he go? And he said, where'd who go? And then before you know it, it was left off. So
who's
go
on
ahead
second?
You,
I don't know.
Who's on
third
second?
Base. So, yeah, we have, for me, one of the most iconic Star Wars ships, which is Boba Fett. Well, I guess it was Jango's until it was bequeathed upon his son, Boba. Slave One, right? Famous for tracking down Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon. And also famous for just being kind of a cool-looking and operating ship, right? It kind of lays on its belly to kind of load up, and then when it goes up, it kind of sits up straight and flies kind of like it's a face kind of flying through the world. Rob's getting a call. Who's calling, Rob?
Call.
Is this someone from Taco Supreme?
No, it's a FaceTime from my wife.
Oh, does she want to be on the show?
She does want to be on the show.
I doubt it very much, I got to tell you.
I doubt it as well.
Oh, boy. Well, Slave One, right? So, number one, it's cool looking. Number two, it's got some pretty cool arsenal, right? It's got those seismic charges that, like, in episode two just made the coolest noises ever. And if you saw it in the theater with, like, the crazy surround sound, it was just pretty excellent.
It was very excellent.
And it's Boba Fett's ship, and I think that automatically ups the cool factor, especially if you played Shadows of the Empire for N64 and you got to fight the thing. Aces.
Perfect. Slave I couldn't one. See a better number three than either of those two. All right, number two.
Number two. Whoa.
We agree.
We sure do. Look at that. The Death Star.
The Death Star.
I mean,
do we need to say anything
now.
Else?
Like, it's a giant ball that destroys larger giant balls.
Yes. Like, its whole purpose is to destroy not ships, but planets. Just destroy the whole planet.
Just picture that for a second. Everyone you know and love, everyone you've ever seen or met or heard or smelled or licked or talked to, every person ever just like that because
gone.
some dude in a respirator decided the girl with the hair buns wasn't talking fast enough.
That's right. So because of that, destroyed her home planet. Gone.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the most... I've always thought the Death Star was cool because how could you not? And, you know, I think probably the most coveted Lego item might be the Lego Death Star, if not the, you know, maybe our number one. I think the thing that sealed it for me with it was you never really, you always see it as this point in space, you know, it's just a big ball floating in space, but then they like talk about it going into hyperdrive and you're like, oh my God, this giant ball can move. And then you see that shot of it in Rogue One coming up over the horizon at the very end of the movie. And you're like, oh boy, things
you're
are
like,
about
oh.
to go bad.
Yep. Things are going to go bad real fast.
Yeah. And so it's the coolest.
It's I agree 100%.
It's the second coolest.
Second coolest, only to the coolest vehicle of all time for any space opera ever.
Sorry, I'm drum rolling, but I have to click.
You are drum rolling.
I have to click.
Oh,
gosh, here we go. There it is.
There it is.
And it doesn't say number one because it doesn't need to say number one because it's the Millennium Falcon.
That's right.
And I'm going to go ahead and bet that it would show up at the top of most people's top 10 list, if not in the top three for sure. I mean, me and my wife have the thing tattooed on our bodies. I mean...
And you don't have many ships tattooed on your body, but you have the Millennium Falcon.
It is, in fact, the only ship I have tattooed on my body.
There you go.
So there you go. So, I mean, I don't know how much of this is just confirmation bias of us having a personal feeling of attachment to the ship, but it's just done so many cool things and that have just been made cooler by the addition of Solo. And we've talked in the past about... L337, right? Her being uploaded into the mainframe.
Yep, her brain is now what travels and gets him all the way through the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs.
If you round
right.
down.
If you round down.
That's right.
So
and yep. it's really cool, and it's kind of a, you know, we talk about the silly thing of Han, oh, you're alone? Solo. That was like such a silly thing. But the addition of this is kind of clever because, you know, when we hear them talk about the Falcon and talk about, oh, you got this and she can handle this. And it's like, well, before it was, oh, you know, kind of like a silly, like dude talks about his car like she's a girl thing. But now it's, no, it's L3's memory cores uploaded. This is literally this droid that
has
a personality and used to like walk and talk and lead droid rebellions.
She sure did.
Yeah.
She was leading a rebellion of her own, that's for sure. So, yep. So there we go. That's our top 10.
Top 10 Star Wars vehicles.
I think most
of
you would agree that 1 and 2 are the Falcon and the Death Star.
I would have to.
And if you disagree, go ahead and comment down below.
Down here. You have to comment down here and tell us what you think. Or I'll send us an email at banthamilkpodcast@gmail.com.
Or on our Twitter at banthamilk.
That's right. Or on our Instagram and Facebook at banthamilkpodcast.
That's right. So any one of those, you can comment and send us information. So now, the second big important thing that we have going on here, Nick is going to give us a review of a new game that just came out by EA called EA Star Wars Squadrons.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a gamer, you know that those two letters before a game, EA, should give you pause for anything. So I'm actually pleasantly surprised with this one. I've been having a good time. Now, I haven't played in a couple days because we've just been kind of crazy, but Star Wars Squadrons is a great game. I've heard some people give it some mixed reviews, and I think it definitely it fits the niche for a certain thing. You have to want a certain thing. But let's talk about it really quickly. If you were a fan of, you know, the Rogue Squadron series on N64, which included, there was a GameCube version of it as well. There was Rogue Squadron for N64 and then something else.
I didn't have N64 or GameCube.
Oh,
so.
See, I was a Nintendo kid, so that's what I did. But there was also the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter series for PC, which I played as a kid. And I remember when I was a kid, my dad got the joystick. Right, so I felt like such a cool guy on my joystick flying around in a TIE fighter, but this really does capture a lot of that in there. Right, so there's a couple things about Star Wars Squadrons that we can talk about. Number one, it is mostly for the multiplayer gamer. There is a story mode. The story mode's pretty interesting. I've made it through a little bit of it so far, but it is mostly a multiplayer game. You're probably going to get 6, max 8 hours out of the story mode. The story mode kind of starts right after Alderaan has been destroyed, and you play the part of you play both a TIE fighter or you know, someone from the Empire and someone from the Republic. You kind of dance in both sides, but it starts just after Alderaan is blown up, and then it kind of fast forwards into after the Battle of Endor. So you're getting kind of a different, interesting view of what happens during all these sort of things, and you do it as a star pilot. Now, the multiplayer, right? So there's a couple things that go along with the multiplayer. First of all, there's dogfights, which is like your traditional, you know, 5 versus 5, fly around, shooting at each other. Deathmatch, first to 30 wins. And I'll tell you, from what I have garnered from this so far, teamwork is absolutely the most important thing that I've gotten in this. If you get tunnel vision, you just start flying around shooting things, you're going to get annihilated. But if you're using headphones or something, talking to friends and playing, it becomes much easier when you have tactics. That especially becomes a big thing in Fleet Battles. Fleet Battles is the second multiplayer mode that they've released. And it's a lot like the dogfights, but on a larger scale. They have 5 versus 5 humans, but then they also give you a bunch of different AI starfighters to kill you. And there's this morale system. The more kills you get, the higher morale gets. The higher morale gets, the more progressive you get in the fight. So you get to a certain point in the morale, you get to start attacking their light cruisers. You know, you move in the battle, you attack their larger light cruisers until they either repel you and your morale falls, or else your morale grows and you get to then push onto their star cruisers, the Death Star, or not the Death Star, the Star Destroyers, if you're fighting against the Empire or the Radus, the MC, what is it? MC-85s. And destroying one of those fighters wins you the game. And it's really cool. You know, each of those big fighters, you can destroy the subsystems. You find the shield system. You can disable it. You can disable their targeting system if you know where it is. And so, again, it's just very interesting tactical gameplay. But again, you really have to get used to the controls. They're tough to get used to. And it is a true flight simulator. So they're really trying to bring some realism into it. There's three different subsystems that you have control over. There's shields, there's weapons, and there's engines. And you can control how much power goes to each at any given time. So let's say you're far away from a buddy who needs help, and you need a boost to the engines. You can shift all power to your engines and give yourself a boost. And then, you know, once you get there, switch all your powers to your guns just to help him blow the guy out of the sky. Which is just so, it makes you feel so cool. It makes you feel like you're Luke, in a battle. You know, switch all your the shields too. You can switch your power to the shields and then switch to front shields or back shields. So you're going down on like a trench run and you switch all your power to the front shields and you just kind of feel like you're in the moment. It's the most cinematic video game I've played. And unfortunately for us in the Bantha Milk budget, we have not scheduled the money for the Oculus Rift. Because I have heard in virtual reality, it is the most immersive VR game there is.
That's what I was going to add to your review was you're playing with just your traditional joystick or, you know, the handheld controller, right. Your controller. They have full flight simulator joysticks and all that stuff that you can use with it as well. And then on top of it, even the Oculus or even on Sony VR,
The PlayStation VR.
You can get the PlayStation VR also. And with the joystick, with the VR, I heard it's like it completely takes you there and takes you out of this world. And it's like you start to like rock as you're going around and stuff like that. So, yeah. So if we can find the money in the Bantha Milk budget to buy that, we will do that. I know it's going for $40, which is cheap.
Yeah,
compared to a normal.
Most AAA games coming out today are $60 full price. It does worry me a little. I'm worried about the development cycle for this game because when you have a game that's mostly multiplayer, you hope that they're going to put developments in. You hope they're going to put new game modes, maybe unlockable ships. But I haven't heard anything about that yet. I heard
that they said they're not adding much to it,
and
also.
Which is kind of a bummer because when you, like, for example, for people who might play games like this, I play Overwatch. I bought Overwatch for PlayStation for $40 5 years ago, probably. I lived in Louisiana. Since then, on that $40, they have events every month or two. They have like special events. They have skins they've added. They've added new maps. They've added new game modes. Like, you know, that's what I would expect out of a game, you know.
Sure.
I am worried with EA. I don't know that we're going to see that, especially with PS5 coming up. I think this was just this is going to be a really beautiful launch title for PS5, but let's also launch it for PS4 because some people aren't going to have the money to buy it yet.
Sure. And on that note, when I was in Walmart the other day, at this point in time, I don't know how long the sale ends, but $33.88 or something like that. So you can get it for even $7 cheaper if you go to Walmart.
Wow. Yeah.
Free ad for Walmart right there. Boom.
Wow. Because if there's one thing that Walmart needs, it's publicity.
It's free advertising. Yeah. Yes. You definitely need that. So, yeah, so it looks like a totally awesome game. You enjoyed it a lot.
It's a good time. There's a bunch of different there's eight different vehicles you can use so far for the Empire. You have the standard TIE fighter, your TIE interceptor, which is a little faster and more agile, your TIE bomber, which obviously is the bomber class, and then the TIE Reaper, which I had never heard of before, but it's kind of a specialist support class that can restock your allies, give them, you know, more missiles, give them more armor. And then for the New Republic, you have the X-Wing, obviously, the Y-Wing, which is their bomber, the A-Wing, which is kind of their more advanced, faster craft, and then the U-Wing, which is like their TIE Reaper. So it'd be great if we learned that there were some unlockables. I mean, in in like the Rogue Squadron games, you could unlock the Millennium Falcon and you could unlock, you know, a lot of different interesting stuff. So I would hope they wouldn't drop the ball and miss an opportunity like that for this game. But so far, the play and the actual gameplay of it is a good time. It's just a little play the story mode. If you get it, you got to play the story mode. Hold your hand and try and teach you all the different, you know, they teach you there's a way you can drift and that helps you to turn quicker and stuff like that. So they do kind of give you the basics of flight in there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, game. Very Check good. Great review. Great game. From what I've seen, it looks totally awesome. I just haven't gotten around to buying it yet. But yeah, so that's the review of Star Wars Squadrons.
Check it out on PlayStation 5 and Xbox 360, Xbox One, right? And I think it's on PC.
Yeah. So while Nick was buying that, I bought a different game, which was an add-on to The Sims. So also by
EA. I can't believe The Sims is still around, man. I was playing The Sims in high school.
Oh, yeah. The Sims has been around forever. So this is the fourth generation of The Sims. What they've done now is they keep adding on these extra packs and different things. My daughter just bought a whole other set of packs for the game. So you can keep buying different things to make your Sims have more fun and all that stuff. And this was a Star Wars Batuu pack, which Batuu, for those of you that don't know, is Star Wars land in Disney World and Disneyland. So it's a whole separate thing. You go there, you go to Batuu, you do some missions in Batuu, you can earn credits and money and things, and you can buy stuff in Batuu, and then you can bring it back to your Sims house, and you can add all these cool Star Wars things to your Sims house. Now, a friend of ours from the show The Supreme Resort named Dan is a huge Sims fan. He plays The Sims all the time, and he learns how to break The Sims. So what we're going to do now, Dan and I talked for about an hour, and I broke it down to about 15 minutes. But this is a 15-minute clip of Dan breaking The Sims. And so we'll listen to that. It was supposed to be about how Dan plays in Batuu, and then find out real quickly that Dan doesn't like Batuu at all.
Yeah, he does. He seems to. I know he mentions the linear kind of goal-based thing, and I understand The Sims is not really a goal-based game. It's more of a sandbox. A sandbox with a lot of cocaine in it, apparently.
Apparently you can add a lot of cocaine into it.
I was a little taken aback by that, but all right, that's interesting.
All right, so let's go to that interview with Dan, and then when we come back, we'll talk about my feelings of Batuu.
But yes, I'm also from something called Taco Supreme.
Taco Supreme, one of our favorite shows on the Ears Up Network.
And Scraping the Vault.
Scraping the Vault.
Yes.
Easy for you to say.
It's very easy.
It's easier than Banter, Beskar, and Bantha Milk, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just call it the Star Wars Land show because that's what it's about, right? You made a whole podcast about Star Wars Land,
about
Disneyland?
At Disneyland, yes. Okay. And we go there from New Jersey. We fly there every weekend. Yep.
Don't you think it's great that Bob Iger made up this entirely new, rich story for the Disney parks exclusively?
Yes. This whole everything, you know, Bob Iger's amazing. What can I say?
He's fantastic. He came up with this mythology around this Mandalorian.
He came up with Batuu.
The guy's amazing. He's a genius.
So since we're talking about Star Wars Land, let's talk about why you're actually here, Dan.
That's right.
So there's a game called The Sims 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fourth installment. When's Sims 5 coming out? Anytime soon? I hope
I'm
not.
Working on it. Okay. Should be out at the same time the vaccine comes out, so November.
Okay. But until then, you have this update, or this, what do they call it, a patch, a game patch?
Well, okay, so The Sims, I've been playing The Sims since the original Sims, and it's gone through a ton of changes. Most of them good, some of them bad. They have figured out that we just want to give them money, much like a certain company that may or may not have released Star Wars Land. So they come up with an update to the full game every once in a while, but then they also come up with an expansion pack, which is like a huge they introduce new like game operations, and then they have something lesser than that called a game pack, which is what the Star Wars Batuu Galaxy's Edge thing is.
Okay.
And then they have another thing that's a little bit less involved called a stuff pack, which is just stuff.
Okay.
However, having played this game for a while, they aren't. Sometimes the expansion packs seem like a stuff pack, and sometimes the stuff pack seems like an expansion pack. This one is right in the middle, and it feels to me like a stuff pack. But
okay,
yeah. Now, you said that you hadn't played The Sims before this.
So, I played Sims years ago. I played like the first maybe two or three, maybe two versions of The Sims. I played Sim City when that first came out. I thought it was the most amazing game ever.
Oh, Sim City's fantastic.
Yeah. So I was, when they came out with The Sims, I was like all on board, especially when you found out that you could put The Sims that you created into Sim City. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's really cool. But then your person basically just got lost in this giant city. So it was whatever.
Yeah, they kind of gave up on that. It was a good idea, but they didn't really go anywhere.
No. When your city has thousands of people and then you put one person into it, it kind of gets lost anyway. So, but my kids are huge fans of SimCity 4.
Oh, okay. It's Sims, right? Not SimCity.
Sims. I'm sorry. Yeah, Sims 4. Yes. So when this expansion pack came out, like they were always buying all the different packs that you were talking about, like the different levels of packs, the stuff pack, the items pack, and all that stuff. So they were constantly buying upgrades for their Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this one came out, I was like, oh, all of us can bond over this game. And I don't know, for whatever reason, my son played it a little bit. But since going to Batuu is so much different, like you're doing missions and stuff over there.
Right.
They kind of lost interest because you have to. So if you go to Batuu, there's all kinds of missions and things to do there. And then, yeah. I from what I understand, when you complete those missions and stuff, you'll be able to bring stuff back into your Sim's regular land. Is that correct?
That sounds right. So people play Sims in different ways. I like to play for just complete destruction and horrible things that like. But from what I understand, the Sims in general are more like open ended. You can do whatever. There's a bunch of cheats that you can use to like extend life indefinitely and have unlimited money and everything. So it's very much a sandbox sort of thing. However, Disney doesn't really like sandboxy stuff. So I think the idea with this one is it's very mission based.
Yes.
And that's weird to me because that's not Sims. It feels to me like there was a game for NES back when NES was making games. It's a Magic Kingdom game that I can't think of the name of. You would think I'd look it up or something, but no. Where you go around the Magic Kingdom and you solve these like weird social problems for Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
You're like, here's a star piece, give it to Goofy. And then you go find Goofy, like, here's a star piece. Like, great, here's a peanut butter sandwich, give it to Dumbo.
And then you're just wandering around the park aimlessly.
You're just doing chores for these characters. So this game feels a lot like that. And I don't know, what, like, I'm curious, as someone who had never really played The Sims,
like, yeah.
Coming at it from that point of view, is that fun to you?
So that's what I was thinking as well as I'm playing it. So I've been playing this other very old game. I have the CD of it right behind me here.
Nice.
And you can tell it's old because the case is cracked and everything.
That's good.
Good old Star Wars Galaxies from...
And Bob Iger made that, right?
I think he did, yes. Okay. It was... And then he made the update, which everybody hated, and that's why people stopped playing it.
Right.
But it was a great sandbox MMO game, and now there's all these people who made their own servers of it now, so you can play it again now.
That sounds actually fun.
It's totally fun. So If you're interested, let me know. I'll get you into the server that we're in. My friend Tom and I, who's been on the show, he and I play it for hours on end every night. So it's amazing to me.
Nice.
And we were talking just the other day about how we hate on some of the planets, like it's got nighttime and daytime. And at nighttime on some of the planets, it's so dark that you can barely see anything. And we're like, why are you making some things real world, like day and night, but yet you don't make other things real world, like having to sleep or go to the bathroom or anything
right,
like that?
Right.
And then that's where The Sims fits into this, where you have all these missions, but you're trying to get through all these missions, and then you have to stop so that you can eat something, and you have to stop so that you can sleep and go to the bathroom.
But you don't have to. And do you know about this?
No.
Okay. So there's a ton that you can do with cheats out there.
Okay.
And that's I've never played The Sims without cheats. And if I had, I would hate this game. So here I set up, first of all, I set up at home with George Lucas.
Okay.
Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak.
There's Pat.
And then that's Breck Eisner.
Nice.
So I've enabled cheats if you see up here. If you go back, you can see testing cheats on right there.
Okay. Yes. They
have a cheat. They have one called Wicked Whims, which I had to disable before making these videos, and you can probably guess what happens with those. This is a giant transport thing that isn't going to fit anywhere on the property.
Okay.
So I hit another cheat. It's move objects on. These are all, I mean, if anyone's sitting there like taking notes or whatever, you can, it's online. Like it's not a secret.
Sure.
So I put the move objects on cheat, and now there's a giant transport on top of their
house. On top of the house. They now have a giant ship on top of the house.
Right.
So those of you that are listening on the podcast right now, you got to check out the YouTube channel, because he just put a giant transport ship on top of your house.
Right.
And if there's anything you need on your house, it's definitely a giant transport ship on top. Transport.
Thank you.
So it's funny, you're in The Sims real world right now. I skipped this entirely. I created my character, and I immediately just went to Batuu.
Oh, yeah. No, this is where the fun stuff happens. And you'll see, there's more. There's this. So you can buy, I'm buying a rifle.
Oh, nice.
That's a flamethrower.
You need one of those.
Right. Zombie cures, gas. You can kind of see where this is going.
Sure, yeah.
Now, I'm just showing the violent things.
Okay.
So I found the cocaine.
Oh, big I'm bags of cocaine.
Several huge bags of cocaine for this family.
That's like 30 kilos of cocaine right
there.
Oh,
it's nuts. And then George Lucas is... he's going to the bathroom somewhere. There he goes. You can see him in the back. I think he's going to throw up because of the ayahuasca. No, he's just going to the bathroom.
He's just going to the bathroom. And I like Pat Sajak's whole skin and everything now. It's very impressive.
It's just full on. It's Nemesis from whatever that game is. You can cheat up all your skills. So that basically you can play this game without any like skill or try, if you just know that there's a cheat out there for it. Like the cannibalism mod, it's just funny.
It is funny. All those things, the zombie, the cannibalism, the gangs, all that stuff. That you know, when you're bored and you want to just destroy people's lives, it seems like it's a lot of fun to do.
It's 2020. Have fun.
Yeah, exactly. That was an example of what 2020 actually looks like right now, I think.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So as a Star Wars fan, did you find it satisfying at all? Because I know as a Sims fan, I don't care for the expansion pack.
So as a Star Wars fan, I thought it was cool. I wanted to ask you, Peace, you've been to the new Galaxy's Edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been? Yes. So we were going to go this summer, but obviously we didn't make it there. So I have yet to actually go into the real Galaxy's Edge. So is the Batuu game almost identical to when you're walking around Galaxy's Edge?
Layout is very similar, yeah.
Okay.
It's as similar as you could reasonably expect it to be.
you're not a fan of the Batu pack because you like to do all this extra stuff with The Sims.
Right. It's too guided for me. I don't like the structure. I don't know who it's made for, but I'm not that person.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's weird to me because it's a structured game. It's a very structured game. You have to do missions to level up. Now, I'm sure you could turn on all the cheats where you get all your levels.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Fully up, so you really don't need to do the missions if you don't want to at that point. You know, being a Star Wars podcast, the Batu part was the part that I was more interested in.
Right.
And then you were able to, with the patches, you were able to bring, I saw you brought the land speeder and the giant ship and everything. Now,
yeah, and I have some Batu. So now they're in Batu. Pat Sajak is without a head because, again, the game doesn't know how to deal with it. So I'm just going to send him home because go home, Pat Sajak. You don't have a head.
Because
he tried to bite George Lucas.
Yes.
So I was actually really upset, but I find it somewhat charming that they don't allow certain things to happen in Batu.
Okay.
So it's really scaled. The absurdity is really scaled down, but like, George Lucas induces panic about this, this bench. Oh, the way he runs is great.
With his arms down.
I feel like the game knows that that's supposed to be George Lucas, and they're like, it's probably how he runs.
They're going to make him awkward. This right. is how George Lucas would run.
Exactly. I'm going to turn the stormtrooper into a zombie. Because you can.
I didn't add all these things in. I was just playing straight up.
Right.
Vanilla Sims.
Yeah. You're playing like a square, man.
I was totally playing like a square. I was doing missions. I was, you know, following the rules, man.
Don't do the work the game's trying to make you do, bro.
You, on the other hand, were like, forget this. You're going to do the most ridiculous things ever.
Oh, yeah. Immediately, I'm like, how can I break this?
How can I break the game? And I'm like, ooh, let's see if I can get my guy to level up the real way. So I'm sitting here playing for like 3 hours to get him to like level 3. You're like, click, 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 boom, level 10, all done. Yep. And I'm like, wizard. Ah, wizard, yeah. Well, that's awesome. It was it's a fun review of how to destroy Sims. So, well, thanks, Dan, for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
And back to our regularly scheduled programming, I guess. And we're back.
And we're back. Wow, look at that. That was great. That was great.
That was wonderful.
No, no, yeah. I've just by watching this again, I like I'm a video game guy. I like right. video games, and I haven't played a Sims since The Sims 3, which has been a while now, I guess. And even that was on my phone. But I played I remember The Sims, like the original Sims I was playing in high school. But I got the itch when I saw that. I was like, ooh, there's Star Wars in The Sims.
Yeah. So
I could get
so
down
here's,
with that.
Here's the deal. The Sims, as Dan talks about, big open world concept. You just do whatever. You want to send them to work, you send them to work. Or in Dan's case, you find all these mods and these downloads, and you download and break the game, and you put download on top of download and mod on top of mod, and then you have all kinds of demented, disgusting things going on, which makes it even more fun because it makes it a completely different game. And exactly. Then the Batu portion of it is fun because you get to walk around Batu, you get to go into the different shops, you get to see everything that would be in Star Wars Land. And as Dan said, he did go to Star Wars Land, and the layout is very close to Batu. Me personally, I liked Batu because I haven't been there, so I like doing the missions and stuff like that. But as a Sims game, it is weird having missions and jobs and all these things that you have to do, and then getting right. distracted because your Sim then has to go to the bathroom while you're in the middle of trying to do this mission, and then he gets distracted and he runs off and he's trying to talk to somebody. So it's weird because it's like a mix. It's Sims wants to do this. The Batu patch wants to do this. And they tried to get them to go together. And it doesn't really flow, I guess is the word.
Yeah, but I think movie companies and Disney in particular is getting more hip to the fact that their target demographic is getting advertised to different ways. Like they, I mean, with Marvel and with the new Star Wars movies coming out and the amount of in video game stuff they did in Fortnite, you know, they did events in Fortnite. They did whole trailer releases in game in Fortnite.
Song releases, musicians did whole like concert and songs and stuff like that in Fortnite.
Yeah, so they're realizing, I mean, the target demographic has always been younger kids, and they're realizing that more and more younger kids are playing these video games. And so they're using that to their advantage. I don't blame them for it.
So if you haven't been to Star Wars Land or Disney World or Disneyland, and especially now that Disneyland is closed, and you want to walk around Star Wars Land, Batuu, and check it out, then this is a great thing to do because you can see what it looks like. You can see how cool it is. You can see what Star Wars Land would look like if you were there. If you're a Sims fan and just like the fact that Sims is an open world sandbox, you're probably not going to enjoy it that much. But if you're just a game player and you just want to play a Star Wars game that you haven't played, this patch is only $20. So if you already have The Sims 4 laying around and maybe you stop playing it for a while and you want to play something Star Wars and you don't want to spend $33 or $40 or $70, you only want to drop $20 on it, go ahead and pick it up because it's pretty cool.
That's right. And, you know, we've got I don't know that we have any confirmed things coming up our way, but as far as Star Wars video games go, we've got definitely Lego Star Wars: The Complete Saga coming out pretty soon, and that's great for all y'all casual gamers who aren't, you know, really people who necessarily consider yourself good at video games. It's something my wife can't even play with me. We also have I'm almost positive we're gonna get a sequel to the Jedi Fallen Order. That one was a huge hit. It's considered one of like this generation's best video games. So we'll probably get one of those as well. There's been a lot of missed opportunity with Star Wars video games. And I'm hoping now that video games are a little more mainstream, we might start seeing a little better. So
we'll see what happens. So there we go. So that's it. That's two video game reviews, a top 10 about vehicles and a little bit of Star Wars news mixed in there. So
all for the second time around.
So
second time.
I think
around.
We should do this one more time. We'll have a nice tight show.
Okay, this was it. Yeah, this was it. So you didn't want me to hit record yet.
Don't
right?
record.
This was, this
yeah,
was,
no, we'll just
okay. I figured this was our dress rehearsal.
So we're just gonna start at 10 o'clock tonight. We'll just do it one more time and have a great 30-minute set.
Sounds great. All right, well, you know where to find us. We're on the social medias. We're at Instagram. We're on Facebook, both at Bantha Milk Podcast. We're on Instagram at Bantha Milk. You can email us at BanthaMilkPodcast@gmail.com.
BanthaMilkPodcast.com.
Don't
forget our website.
Yes, indeed, BanthaMilkPodcast.com, where you can check out our friends also over at the Ears Up Network. We have a good time chatting with you. We'd love to hear from you. So email us at BanthaMilkPodcast@gmail.com and give us some drink recipes because I finished my glass of whiskey and none of you have given me any Star Wars whiskey
drinks
yet.
That's right. We need one.
So fill my glass. Right. Send us some stuff you want to hear from us. That's about
so
it.
So I'm going to put up also a video, the 52-minute video of Dan breaking The Sims. And I'm going to put that on our YouTube page also called Dan Breaks The Sims. And we'll see if that gets more hits than our normal podcast does. And if it does, I think we have to retire.
Yeah. That's fair. I think that's fair.
So
Please don't let us down.
Please like, subscribe, and smash the comment below,
smash
down
the
below,
all
that all stuff.
The
all right. Go ahead, Nick. Right. Take us out of here.
From all of us here at Bantha Milk Headquarters, we have spoken.
Spoken.